Welcome to the Start Over Coder podcast. I am the Start Over Coder, and I'm taking you along on my quest, taking up a new career as a professional developer and pursuing financial independence. And just a quick note before I get started on today's episode, because I really don't know how this is going to turn out. The sound of this episode may not be so great. It may be a little bit different. All of the things that I normally use when I'm recording these episodes are on a boat going across the Atlantic. I've already packed up my apartment, and I've tried making a little fort made out of a couch and a blanket, but it may just turn out horribly. So please bear with me if the sound is a little bit off. And today's episode is the last episode of the Start Over Coder podcast. So I will be talking about my biggest lessons, maybe some parting advice based on all of the things and experiences that I've had since starting this Start Over Coder project and since I started learning how to code even. And I'm also at the end going to share about what's still coming up, because even though the podcast is coming to an end, I won't be stopping coding. I won't be going anywhere. So I will share a bit about that. But first, let's talk about the biggest lessons, the biggest takeaways that I would share after going through this whole process. And I shouldn't say after because it's still going, but, you know, while going through this process. So the number one piece of advice that I would give is really about setting goals from the very beginning. And this is something that I've talked about here and there in different episodes. But really, I just cannot overemphasize how important it is to set goals about what it is that you're trying to accomplish, because not doing that, which is something that I think that I've done, it makes you kind of have an aimless path. And honestly, it can be a little bit frustrating if you sort of have an idea about what you think you want to do, and then it turns out not to happen that way. So if you set goals about specifically what it is that you want to accomplish, it's so, so much easier to work towards those goals and achieve them. So if you definitely want to change jobs, set a date that you're going to do it by and tell people what that date is so that you have somebody there holding you accountable. If things change, if you get nervous, if you get scared, which could and very well is likely to happen, but have other people there who can ask you about it, ask you about your progress as you're moving and work towards that goal. Now, that said, if you don't want to change jobs or if you're even unsure about it, that is perfectly fine too. And then you set your goal to be exploration of different opportunities and possibilities, whether it's thinking about what kinds of jobs you may want to work towards and then eventually setting a goal and working towards that. Or maybe it's just learning different pieces of technology to find out what your strongest interest is in and then doing that. So setting specific goals about how you're going to learn that technology as you go. So as I said, I have talked quite a bit about setting goals in the past just from realizing what happens when you don't. So if you're interested in hearing more about this and sort of how to set goals, how to then break those goals down into tasks that you can work on accomplishing, go back and listen to a few episodes. Episode 13 was where I put my first learning plan in place. And then episodes 49 and 50, I talked quite a bit more about this with, you know, another 8 or so months of experience after that first episode. So go back and listen to those and you can hear a little bit more about how I approached this in depth. So then once you've got your goals set, then it's like, what can you do to make sure that what you're learning actually sticks? And so I've got three big takeaways to help what you're studying stick in your mind. And so you can actually have these skills be embedded in your brain. So the first piece of advice for that is to build actual projects. And yes, as a complete beginner, it is a totally daunting prospect. I can understand that. What the heck do you build? Where do you start? How do you even like go about learning the things that you need to know in order to build something? And the truth is, you won't really know everything that you need to know to build something, but that is the key. And not getting stuck in, oh, I need to do this before I can do that, is really, really important. And the reason for that is the biggest and quickest way to learn about different methods and functions and libraries and frameworks and plugins and packages, all of that, the quickest way to learn them is to actually have a problem that you need to solve by using that thing. So tutorials are great for introductions to all of these, but at least in my experience, deeper learning happens when you just have to do it on your own and find the tool, find the function, find whatever it is that's going to help you solve the problem that you have on the project that you're working with. And then the other thing about tutorials is that they let you kind of skip around. So for example, everybody talks about React and how it's like the biggest thing to web development in since who knows how long. And so I also thought that I wanted to learn React. I mean, I do still want to learn React, but I maybe jumped into it before I really needed to before I had run into a problem where using React would be the solution to that problem. And I did talk about this in episode 61, so you can go back and listen to that if you want to hear more about that experience. But because I hadn't run into the problem where React would solve, I was literally just learning without really understanding why I was learning something. And yeah, it hasn't really stuck. So you know that you need to build actual projects, but what projects should you build? So there are some lists out there with ideas. You can start there. I will put some links to those lists in the show notes for this episode if you want to check those out. Personally, I looked at a few of the lists of, you know, ideas for new beginners to start building projects. And yeah, those lists were actually kind of overwhelming because you look at a long list of projects and it's like, oh, I don't know how to do any of those or which one should I start with? So that is a little bit tricky. I will give you that. But what worked best for me was building an application that solved a problem that I actually have in real life. So I recorded 3 episodes about building this app. It was an app that I built using Node, Express, and MongoDB. So if you want to hear more about that project, you can listen to first episode 35, then episode 43, and then finally episode 72. In going through that process, I was doing something that I would get use out of. And long story short, it was to build an app that would track the per use cost of an item. And if you remember, the reason that I did that was because I was considering purchasing a membership to a garden in my area where they charge $9 per entry. I know from the app that I built that over the past year, the final tally that I got down to was $5.38 per entry. Plus, I got to bring a few friends. So yes, I absolutely did get the value out of that purchase. And my app told me that. So that is a great example of if you think of a problem that you have or something that you wish were different or a piece of information that you wish you had at the ready, and you can think about how to build it, do that. Go ahead and drill it down to the absolute basics. You know, it doesn't need to have all of the bells and whistles of a full-fledged production, you know, out in public application. But just get the basics down, figure out what you need to do to build it, and then go do it. And then if that is too daunting, if you still think that, okay, I'm not quite ready for that to build my own project, then I would recommend trying Free Code Camp. So if you're unfamiliar, go to freecodecamp.org.com. It is a platform that lets you learn how to code, basically. It starts the very beginning of HTML and CSS and JavaScript and goes into building full stack applications. And one of the things that I didn't like about Free Code Camp when I was sort of in those earlier beginner stages was when it comes time to building the projects, they really do sort of just like let you out there on your own. You get some firm guidelines about what you need to build, but then all of the details about how you actually build it are completely up to you. And my feeling at the time was that the lessons that I had had in Free Code Camp up to doing those projects were not enough to be able to build them. And so I was like, this is poorly planned. They just, you know, leave you out there. But honestly, that is exactly the point where, in hindsight, I know I should have kept going. And so if you find yourself in that position, I would say just keep going because, yes, you are sort of thrown out there on your own, but that is how you are going to learn. And you'll find there are lots of different ways to do these things, to accomplish the goals of each project, to build it, different ways it can look, different ways that it can be functional. And in going through that and seeing how other people do it, in just going through the project and building it yourself, that is how you are going to learn the most. And once you do it, it's going to stick because you've gone through the pain of coming into those problems and then overcoming them. So then the second thing that I would advise helps learning stick is to work with other people as you go, and ideally do it from the beginning. So if you're just at the beginning of your process of learning how to code, get other people involved. And, you know, I'm very introverted. I'm a very internal thinking person. And this is, even so, this is something in hindsight that I think I should have done more of. Just because, yes, I may talk to friends and family about what I'm going through, but they don't know the industry, they don't know the technologies that are out there. They can't really advise me on how to make progress in this whole transition. So getting involved with people who do have that familiarity and know things about it, I think could have and would have made a big difference from the start. And since I did start doing it, I've absolutely noticed what benefits there are to doing it. So first of all, it's getting feedback on how you're actually progressing. So, you know, going back to step number one, you've made a goal of what it is that you want to accomplish by when and how you're going to do it. Working with somebody or even just, you know, having an informal conversation with somebody who's familiar with the industry, they can help you kind of gauge how you're making progress on that goal. Another way to do it is to work on projects with other people. So I've done a couple of group projects now, which I've talked about in this podcast. You can go back and listen to episode 30 for my experiences in one of those. And right now I'm working on a Chingu project, which I talked about in another recent episode. So in these projects, I'm working with other people. In both cases, the other people were absolute strangers before we started. And so far in Chingu and absolutely in the project that's already finished, I've learned so much just from working with other people, you know, elevating our skills. We each bring to the project different skills. So, you know, learning what other people have and also sharing what I know, all of those things are helping me learn way faster than I do when I do things on my own. So working with other people is another great way to involve people in the process of learning how to code. And then likewise, keeping in contact with people, whether it's about jobs or opportunities that can come out of working together, you know, anybody that you work on a project with or meet at a meetup, absolutely, even people on like Twitter and people that you don't meet in person, absolutely keep in touch with them because you just don't know what opportunities could come out of it. And then finally, another great reason to work with other people as you're learning how to code is to get encouragement, because coding can be, well, it is pretty much mostly overcoming frustrations and solving problems and always running into things that you need to fix. And it's nice to have people to vent to, or at least who people who know what it's like to do that have gone through something similar, and you can just talk about that. So lots of reasons to get involved with people, even if, like me, you're maybe not the most naturally social person, or, you know, you like working on your own in particular when it comes to coding. And then finally, the third thing that I think really helps coding and the skills stick in your mind is teaching someone else what you know. So I recorded an episode about this as well back in episode 15. And yeah, especially as a beginner, you might think, what do I know? Who am I to teach someone else? But I really can't overemphasize enough how useful it is to do it anyway. And yes, you may be somewhat of a beginner, but I think when I'm learning something new, I don't necessarily need an expert to teach it to me. I just need somebody who is a few steps ahead of me. And the reason for that is it could even be better because, you know, someone who's a bit newer is going to be closer to my particular experience and more familiar with my perspective. Whereas an expert, if they're trying to teach something absolute basic to, you know, a beginner, they have all this other information and context that as a beginner, maybe it just makes things confusing. So flipping it, being the person who is fairly new to something yourself and maybe just a few steps ahead of somebody else, absolutely going out and teaching what you know can benefit that person. But also it benefits you because a few things happen. First of all, you review what you know in a different context, which is, as far as I know, scientifically proven to help stickiness in the brain. It helps strengthen the neural connections in your brain so you actually have the information linked in lots of different places, and then it'll be easier for you to recall later. Second, you see how far you've come. You know, when you're sitting next to an absolute beginner, even if you're a beginner yourself and you feel like, oh, I don't know that much, when you sit next to that person, you're going to see, oh, actually, you have learned some things, and that can be really encouraging. And then third, you highlight what you don't know. So if you're trying to show something to somebody else and you can't explain it very well, or they're just not getting it, then you see that maybe you can review for yourself what that topic is so that you can explain it better to somebody else. Now, obviously, if you're going to teach someone, you don't want to teach bad habits. So I think it's also a really great reason to review best practices. So things like semantic markup, accessibility, file structure, naming conventions, all of those things that you really don't think about when you're first starting, you don't necessarily need to teach them explicitly as you're showing something to an absolute beginner, but keeping those things in mind, you can teach best practices for the absolute basics. And that's a great way to review those just for yourself. So how to actually go out and teach somebody if you're a beginner? For that, I'm going to say go back and listen to episode 15. To this day, it's one of the least listened to episodes. And that says to me that people look at the title and say, oh, teaching, that's not for me. I'm not advanced enough. I'm not good enough. And that is just a bit disappointing to me because I have seen from personal experience just how much of a difference it can make in my own personal understanding of a topic if I go and teach it to somebody else. So go back and listen to that episode, or better yet, just go and try and do it. And then, of course, the big question, this is my last piece of advice, is what should I learn? You know, that's a question a lot of beginners will have, obviously, because there is so much out there that you just don't necessarily know where to start. And so as far as which language to learn, what frameworks should you learn, all of that, I think, first of all, keep it basic to begin. You know, rather than starting with a framework, start with a language, get the basics of that language, so that when you get to using frameworks, you have a better understanding about the building blocks that make up that framework. But aside from that, I'm not going to go too deeply into this because the biggest response, the biggest advice I can offer in terms of deciding what to learn is that whatever you do, go deep on it. Because as I said, there is so much information out there. There's a lot of headlines and flash out there about the newest thing that you need to learn and why people are using this over that or that over this. The biggest thing is once you pick whichever one thing you are going to learn, just focus on it, tune out all of the other noise, and go as deep as you can into that and get really, really solid in the fundamentals, and then just add on to it as you go. It can be really difficult to separate the flashy headlines from what you're actually working on, but at least if you're aware that that is something that you should try and do, then maybe you'll have an easier time. So that is my big advice there on what to learn. So those are all of the biggest takeaways about what I feel like is the most, you know, it's the information that I wish I had had when I first started working on this whole learning to code experience. So hopefully if you are new and you're skipping ahead the past year and a half of and listening to this episode for the first time, then hopefully that will be useful to you. So now what is coming up next for the Start Over Coder project, for me as the person, all of those things that I said about advice, blah, blah, blah. It sounds like I'm finished coding, and I'm absolutely not. I have to give a shout out to Lev on Twitter, who called me out for, quote, giving up on my dreams. I really got a kick out of that. This is when I first announced on Twitter that I was going to be ending the podcast. And if it feels like that to you, I would just say go back and listen to episode 2, especially, and also a bit of episode 4. My main goal here has always been to create a life where I have the time and ability to do the things that I find most fulfilling. And I actually realized about halfway through this process that leaving my current 9-to-5 job as a rash reaction to what I thought was a pretty not so great situation, leaving that 9-to-5 and going into another one as a developer wouldn't necessarily accomplish the goals that I set out for this project in the beginning. And also, over time, I decided to prioritize being in a place that kind of just ticks more of the boxes of the things that I want to get out of life. So moving back to the UK, I've got close friends there, ease of travel. Travel is something that I love doing and is pretty important to me. You know, and an interesting global group of people that seem to aggregate in London, and just lots of other activities that I love, like music and theater. And all of it is very accessible. You know, it doesn't cost very much compared to some other cities where I've lived, and there's just lots of it available. So that is where I decided to focus on going back to the UK. And if my job, my current job that I've had when I started the Start Over Coder project, is what's going to get me there, then fine, that's what it is. And then when it comes to coding, I have to say, so one of my favorite episodes of the Code Newbie podcast was in season 3, episode 8, which was in March 2018. There was a developer, Colleen Schnettler, who was the guest on that episode, and she talked about her, shall we say, not so linear path to becoming a full-time freelance developer. And she actually spoke at Codeland as well. I got to meet her, which was awesome. But she had a slide during her talk where she had two headlines. And the first was like the basic headline that you see all over Twitter, all over Medium, everywhere, which is like, how an accounting student learned to code in 3 months to travel the world indefinitely. And yes, I absolutely read those headlines all along the journey, but definitely even before I started, and was like, okay, yes, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. But what Colleen was saying in her talk and in the episode was that it's not like that. And she had crossed out that headline on the slide and written her own headline, which was how I learned to code in 6 years while balancing, well, life, basically. And I still believe that working as a developer can be a great, great tool towards achieving financial independence. And I absolutely enjoy the work of being a developer. You know, the more that I've learned, the more projects I've built, the more tools that I've gotten to know really well, the more I really like it. And so for me, maybe, yes, it's not turned out to be that 6-month or even 12-month story that I initially thought it would, of leaving my job, switching, becoming a developer professionally in another job. But, you know, I'm okay with that. And where things are going, I'm still quite good with and excited about, actually. So that brings me to the immediate future. Let's talk about what I will be focusing on to keep things progressing. So first of all, I am in a Qingyu project right now. So I talked a bit about what Qingyu is in episode 73. So go back and listen to that for the full story. But yes, I'm in a group now. We're working on building an application using React. We're actually using the whole MERN stack. So MongoDB, Express, React, and Node.js. And we're, I think, like 2 weeks in right now, 2.5 weeks in, and I've already learned so much. So I mentioned the app that I built before just on my own time, which was a Node project in Express. That was like the MERN stack. And now adding React into it has been a whole new thing. So I don't know React very well myself, but just learning how to get the React server and Express server working together and then pulling in data from one into React from MongoDB, all of that has been things that I've learned just in the past like week and a half or so. I'm also really enjoying working on a team where I'm not kind of taking that project manager role. It is a natural tendency for me to sort of take that position because I'm all about, okay, how can we do this the most efficiently? How can we put structure into our process and really get this working? And I have definitely learned to take a step back and, you know, let somebody else do that and go along with whatever process they say is going to be the way that we do this project. That is an essential skill if I ever do find myself on a developer team where I'm not the lead. And, you know, as a junior developer, I certainly won't be the lead for some time. So that's been a great skill to learn as well. So I'm working on Qingyu. This cohort ends on the 10th of August. So we still got a few weeks of that, but I'm pretty sure I'll do another one because so far I've really enjoyed it. And I think it's a great way to learn. The next thing that I'll be working on is career. So now that I'll actually be based in the UK, I'm so excited to talk to the dev team in my company to see if there's something that I can do to learn more about working as a developer from within my company. It's something that I've had conversations with my boss about, and now that I'll actually be there and can kind of present myself in a tangible way to the team there, I'm hoping that there will be some opportunities that I can get involved with. I did get a great start here in the office in the US. I talked a bit about that in episode 70, but I want to keep it going and do more, you know, not just informational meetings, which are helpful, but actually get involved and get familiar with that process of working on a proper dev team. And then maybe that will be a secondment that I can do where I join them full time for a few months. I don't know. There are lots of options. But that said, I had a conversation with my current department head on my last day in the office. And basically, the impression that I got is that a promotion in my current role is a long, long way off. And so because of my financial independence goals and all of the things that I am working towards, I'm definitely open to and sort of looking for other opportunities. So to that end, there are also lots of conferences and tech meetups that I'm looking forward to going to over the next few months. So London has lots and lots of meetups, and some that I did before when I lived there, some that I've found that are new. So really looking forward to getting involved there. One thing that was a nice surprise living in the US for a little while, I really didn't expect to make new proper friends while I was here, but I did. And it's been great. And so now I'm hoping to do the same in a place that I know that I'll be for an extended period of time. And then in addition to the meetups, I am super excited as well that I'm going to the Grace Hopper celebration in Houston in September. So it is the complete opposite end of the spectrum from the Codeland conference I went to a few months ago. Instead of 300 or so people, Grace Hopper celebration has 22,000 women who work in technology who are going to be at this event. And there will be lots of different talks and panels and workshops and, you know, mentor sessions, all of these things. So I'm still figuring out exactly what I want to focus on. You know, what do I want to get out of that experience, going through all of the steps that I talked about in episode 67 about planning how you're going to attend and get value out of a conference. But regardless, I'm really, really looking forward to attending that and seeing what comes out of it. And then on top of that, you know, I'm still working on my own projects. So I'm in the middle of a few right now that I've kind of put on hold while I'm working on Qingyu because I really do want to dedicate the time to my team and make sure that we're getting done what we say we're going to get done. I also want to do the free CodeCamp certificates. This is something that I put aside quite a long time ago, and I think is a great tool, and so I plan to work on that. They also have the new curriculum recently released, so the structure of the certificates and how you kind of go through that process is a little bit different now, and so I'm excited to get working on that. So yeah, there's so much. So all of those things will be going on, even though this podcast is stopping for now. And I guess, yeah, that kind of, so what is the future of the Start Over Coder podcast? I would say at this point, it is a bit uncertain because I decided to end it because I was feeling like, you know, there'd be less content to share. It also takes a lot of time out of my schedule on a weekly basis. I don't know what my schedule is going to be like necessarily in the new place. But as I think about this and, you know, as I'm talking about it now, all of the things that I am working on and will continue to work on, it's just so clear that it's not true that there will be less content to share. And not to mention all of the benefits of doing the podcast still exist. So it gives me accountability as far as what I'm working on, the community that has come of it, you know, the people that I've met, all of you who I've spoken to and chatted with is great. The record keeping, you know, it's nice to go back sometimes and listen to episodes of where I was when I started and how I learned things and how I was wrong about many, many things. You know, I really, really have enjoyed that. So that said, this may all turn out to be a hiatus rather than an ending of this podcast. Personally, I'd rather underpromise and overdeliver. So I'm just saying that it's going to end for now, but that may not turn out to be the case. I may return at a less than weekly schedule, maybe in an infrequent or irregular schedule. Maybe I might focus on blogging more on the Start Over Coder website so that I don't have to go through the whole editing and all that stuff that is a little bit tedious. But basically, I just plan to get situated in a new place and then figure out what I want to do with the podcast and with Start Over Coder without the pressure of having to put out an episode that week. So all of that said, if you want to keep up with whatever comes next and whenever that is, I would say a few things. So you can subscribe to the podcast feed wherever you listen to this, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. Maybe there will be new episodes there. Maybe it will be announcements about the blog, but whatever is coming next, I will drop something on the feed. So subscribe, and then whenever it happens, you will be notified. Another thing you can do is sign up for the Start Over Coder mailing list. So if you go to startovercoder.com, at the bottom of every page, there is a little email form where you can give me your email address. And then whenever I do have some announcement about what's coming up, then I will send a note around. At this point, I have no plans for any specific mailers. I haven't even set it up with like a system, so you won't get any confirmation or anything. But trust that if you submit your email there, I will have it and I will be able to send you a note if and when something comes around. And then, of course, there are the standard channels. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Start Over Coder. Also on Instagram at Start Over Coder, although I've been less active on that, to be honest. And then, of course, if you want to get in touch, direct messages, you can email me at startovercoder@gmail.com. There is a contact form on the website. I'm going to take it down for a little bit because I've got to figure out how to improve the spam filtering the way that I initially set it up. But hopefully that will be back soon on the startovercoder.com website. So I still exist. I'm still around and absolutely enjoy talking to you, to all other people about coding. So if you want to get in touch, ask any questions, etc., don't hesitate. I'm still here. And so that's going to wrap it up for this episode, for the last episode. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, I would love it if you would leave a review and just let me know wherever you listen to this. Let other people know as well that you've gotten something out of it. If you have, hopefully you have. Or you can visit startovercoder.com/last. That will take you directly to the show notes for this episode and leave a comment there and let me know what you thought about the episode. And with that, I'd just like to say thank you again for listening. And to all of you who have reached out to me over this past year and a half or so, it really has been an absolute pleasure to share this story, share my story, and to talk with all of you about it. And I'm sure this isn't the end. So that's all for now, and I'm signing off.